WMFO Medford. Unlike milk, long-distance telephone calls, and library books, there is no due date, tolls, or expiration in the grand hour. Good morning. It's the 21st of August, 2019. On a programming note here, there's not going to be any Westerns. I'm going to go ahead and play out the last three episodes of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar, and then revisit one of the Private Eyelashes series, Phil Cole, for another. I played this Phil Cole about a year and a half ago, but it pertains to this the Flight 6 matter. It's another flight episode. But anyway, we'll get started. This is episode 318. Flight 6 matter of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar, with an original air date of the 1st of February, 1956. This is Arthur. You're listening to the Grand Hour here. And I'm apologize about my background music. Box Harpsichord Concerto number 5 in F minor. Something might be up with the needle. Let me take a look at that while I start to play Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar.
From Hollywood, it's time now for
Johnny Dollar.
This is Don Serrano de Almeida y Pico.
Oh?
We have not met, Senor Dollar.
No, all right. I've been sure to remember the name. Don Serrano. Oh, wait a minute. You're Maria de Lago's brother.
That is correct.
I was planning to call on you this morning, Don Serrano.
Well, that will not be necessary, Senor, since I am taking the liberty of calling on you. I am downstairs in your hotel at this moment.
Oh, I see.
I believe I may be able to cast some light on the unfortunate tragedy which overtook my poor sister and the other passengers of that ill-fated airplane.
Do you know something that hasn't come out?
Rather a great deal, Senor. I know the crash which resulted in the deaths of 10 innocent people was the evil work of a diabolical maniac.
Yes, well,
a product of the warped mind of a scheming, worthless, unspeakable dog, a sneaking, money-hungry snake, a scurrilous, unprincipled...
Don Serrano!
Si, Senor.
Come on up!
Tonight, and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. From Special Investigator Johnny Dollar, location Mexico City, to the Home Office Guarantee Transport Insurance Company, Hartford, Connecticut. Assignment, the Flight 6 matter. Expense account continued. Item 5, $3.90, room service. Breakfast for myself and a pot of coffee for my visitor, Don Serrano de Almeida y Pico, I think. He was a thin, straight man with a small goatee and the face of a hawk. Stiff, formal, unbending. A classy grande type from an old school long out of business. And a man of much suppressed violence and hate.
Once upon a time, Senor, there existed a gentleman's code for the settlement of such matters as this. The duello, as it was called. But we are living now in lesser and more decadent times. A man is no longer permitted to kill his enemies. He must suffer interference by the police, the Civil Air Transport Department, the government.
And even special investigators from the States, huh? Is that what you mean?
I was not speaking personally, Senor Dollar. You are as much a victim of the times as I am.
Well, it doesn't seem to be irritating me as much. More coffee, Don Serrano?
Gracias, no. Perhaps it is because you have not lost your dearly beloved sister, Senor.
Oh, maybe. In that, at least, you have my sympathy. But let's get to the point. You've done quite a lot of talking about wanting to kill somebody, but I'm still not too sure who or why or what.
It is very simple, Senor.
Not to me. Suppose we start at the beginning.
As you like. But who can ever say what is the beginning of anything?
All right, then let's be arbitrary about it. Let's start 3 weeks ago when your sister Maria came here from Havana to join her husband, Ramon de Lagos. I believe you said Ramon had been here for a month at that time on some kind of a business deal.
A business deal? Do I look like a fool, senor?
Oh, now, let's stick to the point.
Women. That is his business, senor. Women with money.
Then a week ago, Maria wired you, said she was terribly unhappy, and asked you to come at once. And when you got here, she told you what was the matter. She said Ramon was carrying on with an American girl named Marvel Terrence.
Jezebel, senor.
So you took over. You got Maria an airline reservation back to Havana on Flight 6, the one that crashed, and told her you'd handle Ramon.
Oh, she was putty in his hands. He lied to her every day since they were married. And she always ended up by believing him. I told her in the beginning he was interested only in her wealth.
Which amounts to how much?
Oh, much. Even after Ramon's foolish dissipation over the last few years.
What happens to her estate now?
Half of it she was permitted to dispose of as she wished. She made a will some time ago in favor of Ramon. Against my advice, I may say.
What about the other half?
That reverts to me, senor.
Oh?
It is a matter of family tradition.
Who managed your sister's estate before Ramon came into the picture?
I did, senor. And quite profitably. I did not waste my energies on illicit follies and ludicrous intrigues.
All right, all right. Night before last, then, you took Maria to the airport and saw her off on a plane.
Si.
What was she planning to do when she got back to Havana? Was she going to divorce Ramon?
My sister was a very pious woman. May she rest in peace. Her religion would never permit such an act.
I see.
And, of course, there was the matter of family tradition.
Oh, naturally. Did Ramon go to the airport with you?
I had not seen Ramon since the night before, nor had Maria. We had quarreled violently over his disgraceful conduct.
Did Ramon know that his wife was taking Flight 6?
I informed him the night before.
Did you or Maria see him at the airport?
Oh, no, senor. He was much too clever. He managed to keep out of sight.
Then how can you be sure he was there?
Senor Dollar, who else would be so vile as to place an explosive on board the plane?
Oh, well, now I can follow your reasoning, but...
The matter is self-evident.
Well, look, I'm afraid we need more than self-evidence, Don Serrano.
The problem of evidence is your responsibility, senor. I have told you who committed the deed.
No, you've told me who you suspect.
Do you doubt my word?
Not as far as it goes. Sure you won't have some more coffee?
No, gracias.
Do you happen to know this girl, Marvel Terrence? By sight, I mean.
She has been pointed out to me.
Mm-hmm. Did you see her at the airport?
Si, I did. I was under the impression she was going to leave on the plane, but after it departed, she was still in the terminal.
Did you notice her talking to anyone before the takeoff?
Yes, to some American, I believe.
Red hair, stocky build, about 35?
Si, he would fit that description.
Blakely. Did you see her talking to anyone else? Any of the baggage handlers or the ground crew?
I'm afraid I did not notice. Is it important?
It could be. Well, thanks for your information, Don Serrano.
My only concern is to see justice done.
I'm sure it will be. And now suppose we take a look at what you didn't tell me.
Senor?
The fact that Maria took out a flight accident policy for $25,000 and named you as her beneficiary.
Well, I considered it a mere whim of my sister's.
But the way things turned out, it was a pretty valuable whim, wasn't it, Don Serrano? For you, I mean.
Senor, are you implying...
I'm implying that Ramon wasn't the only one with a motive. Wasn't the only one who'll profit by Maria's death. You'll do pretty well yourself. Half her estate and $25,000 cash, that's not a bad deal.
I should kill you for such an insult.
You'd like to, wouldn't you? You're very big on this killing business. That's how you planned to handle things with Ramon, wasn't it? As soon as Maria went back to Havana.
It is only what he deserves.
And now you're trying to use me to do it. That's why you came here. You don't care about justice. All you want to do is get Ramon.
He is guilty.
If he is, Don Serrano, I'll find it out and I'll pin it on him. But if he isn't, I'm not going to be pushed into framing him. So you can take these dirty, underhanded insinuations of yours and you can... Get out, Don Serrano. Expense account item 6, $12.60. Taxi fares in and around Mexico City. I checked with the federal police first. They had their best men working on the murder of the baggage handler at the airport. And so far, they'd turned up nothing. They didn't have a single lead. I went through their files on the other 7 people who died on the plane. Nothing. The 2 pilots and the stewardess were Cuban and apparently had no close friends or enemies in Mexico City. 2 of the passengers were Brazilians and were only traveling through en route from the States. And as far as the other 2 were concerned, there seemed to be no motive. So it came right back again to the three I was already working on. Maria DeLagos and the two business partners, Ed Palmer and Jim Rourke. The three people who'd bought flight insurance policies. And that left me with four possible suspects. Ramon DeLagos, Maria's husband, Don Serrano, her brother, Marvel Terrence, and Bill Blakely, the partner of Palmer and Rourke. I checked with Inspector Mocklin, but he'd made no progress. With Gina Romero, no progress. I tried to reach Blakely, but he hadn't shown up at his office. I phoned Marvel Terrence and got a reluctant agreement from her to meet me for lunch. I waited for her at the Vendome for an hour. She didn't show up. Finally, at 1 o'clock, I went to her hotel.
Oiga, mozo, traiga el ejepaje del cuarto número 85. Ahorita vaya. Andre, pues. Sí, señor. What can I do for you?
I'd like to see Miss Marvel Terrence. I wonder if you...
Ah, Miss Terrence. Que señorita tan bonita, tan hermosa.
Yeah, well, if you'll...
She's the most beautiful woman where I've ever stayed at this hotel.
Yeah, she's pretty gorgeous, all right. Would you mind
sometimes
telling...
I think everybody in the world is in love with this señorita. All day long, it is one man after another which call up to talk to Miss Terrence.
Well, would you ring her and tell her I'm waiting...
Two times so many calls we get on the switchboard while the señorita is living.
That's very interesting. And now, would you
please... You must forgive me, amigo. When I think of Miss Terrence, I lose all sense in my head.
All right. You're forgiven. Now, if you...
What is it you wish, señor?
Will you ring Miss Terrence and tell her I'm waiting down here in the lobby?
Immediately, señor. Your name, please?
Johnny Dollar.
Johnny... D-O-L-D-O... How do you spell it, please?
D-O-L-L-A-R.
L-A-R. Gracias. I will tell her at once that you... Sacre nombre. I had forgot.
Forgot what?
She's not here no more, señor.
What?
She has checked out of hotel at 11 o'clock this morning.
Expense account item 7, $2.10. Lunch at the Monte Cassino Hotel, alone. I was sorry she'd skipped. I guess I was secretly hoping Marvel would turn out to be in the clear. But if she were, then why run out? It didn't add up. I paid my check and started to leave the dining room. And at the entrance, I ran square into a man I was planning to see later in the day. He didn't seem very happy about it.
Senor Dollar.
How are you, Ramon?
It is a pleasure to see you again, senor. And
I'd like to talk to you a couple of minutes. Come on, let's step into the bar.
But I have a most important engagement, senor.
Oh, this is important, too. I understand you're a friend of Marvel Terrence's.
I see. It is my honor and pleasure.
Well, she's checked out of the hotel here. Do you know where she went?
Oh, senor, I do not discuss the private affairs of my friends.
Oh, knock it off, Ramon. This isn't a tea party. 10 people have been murdered by an explosion aboard a plane. One of them was your wife, remember?
I cannot help you. I know nothing of Miss Terrence's plans. And now...
I talked to your brother-in-law this morning, Ramon, Don Serrano. He tells me you're the one who put the explosive on board the plane.
It is a lie.
He seemed pretty certain of it. He tells me you stand to inherit half of your wife's estate.
Then he is better informed as to the details of the matter than I am. I do not know what happens to the estate, senor.
He seems to think you wanted to get your wife out of the way in order to have a free hand with Miss Terrence.
Don Serrano, as you may have noticed, is a bigoted and jealous old fool who thinks only of money. He knows better than that.
What do you mean?
Maria was different from the women of your country, senor. She understood such matters as my friendship with Miss Terrence.
And accepted them?
Except such times as Don Serrano goaded her into being foolish, yes. It is a difference of the Latin temperament, senor.
I see. Then there was no trouble between you and Maria.
None of importance. The trouble was Don Serrano. He has hated me from the day of our marriage, because from that moment on, he no longer had any control over Maria's fortune. If you wish to discuss this further, senor, I will be happy to do so later, but I must leave now. Con su permiso.
I watched him hurry out of the hotel. I had no real reason to stop him and no authority to. On sudden impulse, I crossed the lobby to the public phones, called the Hotel Regis, and asked for Don Serrano de Almeida y Pico. Don Serrano had checked out. No forwarding address. I called the Del Prado and asked for Bill Blakely. Mr. Blakely had checked out. No forwarding address. I left the phone booth and hurried back to the desk. The clerk was very sorry. Ramon DeLagos had checked out earlier in the day. No forwarding address.
Now, here's our star to tell you about tomorrow's intriguing episode of this week's story.
Tomorrow, a rendezvous in a tropic port. And a lot of things come together. Things like romance, desire, and death. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Okay. Seems to be an issue here with the turntable deck. Let me see. There it is. It's still, something's not right there. All right, we're going to continue on here. Thanks, lads, for the promo. Episode 319, yours truly, Johnny Dollar, The Flight 6 Matter. This one, what's the next day? The 2nd of February, 1956. This is Arthur. Thanks for listening. Sorry about the technical difficulties.
Now for...
Johnny Dollar.
Inspector Macklin's office. Gino Romero.
Oh, Gino. What did you find out? Did you locate any of them? Beneficiaries of the crash of Flight 6?
Si, senor. It was an affair most simple. A matter of making a telephone call to the airport.
Then they've left Mexico City.
Si, senor. The Senorita Marvel Terrence has taken the 10 o'clock plane this morning to Acapulco.
Oh.
Senor Blakely has taken the 11:30 plane to Acapulco. Senor Ramon de Lagos has taken the 2 o'clock...
plane to Acapulco. And what about Don Serrano?
Oh, with him, he's different. At 2:45, he's departed from Mexico City in a special charter plane.
Look, Gino, is there another flight to Acapulco this afternoon?
But of course, at 4:30. Already I have 2 reservations.
Good. I'll meet you at the airport. What's the flight number? Gino.
I'm scared to think of it. This one is also called Flight 6.
Tonight, and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator...
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. From Special Investigator Johnny Dollar, location Mexico City, to the Home Office, Guaranteed Transport Insurance Company, Hartford, Connecticut. Assignment, the Flight 6 matter. Expense account continued. Item 9, $63.45, incidentals in Mexico City and plane fare to Acapulco. One more of the sharp contrasts of Mexico. We left the stiff formality of the city behind us, the cool thin air of the high plateau, and 50 minutes later we stepped off the plane and into the steaming heat of the tropics. Barefoot tourists in shorts and barefoot natives in white cotton dungarees. Soft brown skins and flashing teeth. Mangoes, papayas, and the heady scent of tropical flowers. Blue sky, blue Pacific, and a burning sun. And a bay so bright and beautiful it breaks your heart. Acapulco. Gino Romero of the Department of Civil Air Transport knew his way around. So I waited for him while he checked his contacts, airport police, custom agents, limousine drivers. And in a few minutes, he'd made his rounds and rejoined me in front of the terminal.
It is an affair most simple, senor. A merely matter of ask the question and listen to the answer.
What did you find out, Gino?
Senorita Miss Terns is there at the Hotel Los Flamingos.
So?
Senor Blakely is also stayed there. Ramon de Lagos is go to the Hotel Caleta. And Don Serrano is stay at the Club de Pesca. So you see?
Yeah, I see. All right, Gino, let's get going.
And where we are going is to the...
We'll put up at the Los Flamingos.
That is what I expect. Oh, she's very beautiful, senor.
True, but there are even better reasons for staying there.
¿Qué dice?
Well, in some way, I mean, I'm not sure how. I think this whole thing centers right around Marvel Terrence.
You think it's possible she's guilty of the crash of the Flight 6 to collect the insurance?
Maybe. Or she might have been used. Or maybe... Oh, I don't know, Gino. But it's about time we found out. Expense account, item 10, $1.50. Limousine fare from the airport to the hotel. The Flamingos is built on a point near the far end of the peninsula, set on a headland high above the white smother of surf below. And there, just before dusk, with the western sky, a yellow blaze of glory beyond the far rim of the Pacific, I found her. She was sitting on the open terrace by the edge of the cliff. And once again, she was alone.
Sit down, Johnny.
Thanks.
I suppose I should be surprised, but I'm not, really. I guess I rather expected you.
Well, then wasn't it a waste of time to run away from Mexico City?
I've always run away, I guess.
And most of the time, I imagine you've been followed.
Or maybe I wanted to face you here, where it's so beautiful. Where perhaps you'd be able to understand me a little better.
Is that what you want, Marvel? To be understood?
Doesn't every woman?
I thought it was more often the man. And usually it's his wife who doesn't understand him, isn't it?
I see this isn't going to be just a social chat.
Oh, I doubt if it could ever be just a social chat. Not with you. Now, you've got too much impact for that.
A compliment?
That's a fact.
There's no place else in the world with sunsets like the ones here. Every evening. It's like there's another land way off there in the west. It's a strange, bright, golden land. And it keeps calling, coaxing.
Only in a little while, it'll disappear. And everything will be dark off there in the west.
Maybe you do understand me, Johnny. Maybe that's why I'm half afraid of you. Another reason I ran, maybe. I can be a fool, easy. Sort of hereditary defect, you might say.
Oh, that's a common affliction. Rarely fatal.
Rarely doesn't help. Once is enough. You know something. When I die, I want to be buried up there in the middle of a sunset.
It'd be kind of lonely, wouldn't it?
I think I've always been lonely. Do you know I haven't a single living relative in the world? Not one. I was 14 when my parents were killed in an auto accident. I stayed in a boarding school, and the bank handled the estate. When I was 21, they turned it over to me. And since then, I've... I guess that's not what you want to know, though, is it?
Not exactly. Want to tell me about it, Marvel?
No. As a matter of fact, I don't. I don't even want to think about it.
It would be better if you would.
For whom? For me? I doubt it. I feel dirty, Johnny. Telling wouldn't change that.
It might...
Anything I'd tell you would be only suspicion, not fact.
What in?
Unless, of course, you're expecting a confession.
Do you have one to make?
No.
But you know who caused Flight 6 to blow up and why, don't you?
No. I can make a guess, that's all.
Like to tell me that guess?
You'll find out soon enough, Johnny, and I'd rather it didn't come from me.
11 people have died, Marvel.
I know.
10 on the plane that crashed, and the baggage handler who was murdered later, and
whoever... You don't have to remind me of it. I couldn't forget it if I wanted to. I told you how I felt, and I'll drop it, Johnny.
All right, all right.
I didn't know. That's all I can claim. I just didn't know.
What do you mean?
Nothing. Look. It's dark out there now. And sunset's gone.
There's always another one.
I wonder.
Have you ever met Don Serrano, brother-in-law of Ramon de Lagos?
No, but he was pointed out to me.
Did you see him at the airport the night Flight 6 was blown up?
I don't remember. I don't think so.
Did you see Ramon?
No.
Did he know you'd canceled your reservation that night?
He didn't even know I had one.
Have Ramon and Bill Blakely ever met?
Yes, they met. And detested each other on sight.
Well, that's understandable in view of the circumstances.
Oh, I guess, but... Why are people like they are?
Did you arrange for Blakely to follow you here?
I didn't tell anybody I was coming.
And he was a good guesser. So was Ramon and Don Serrano.
I know. They're all here. Why? They don't even know me. They don't want to know me. Not in any real way, but they're here.
Oh, yeah, they're here. And I think you ought to tell me what you know, Marvel.
Tomorrow, maybe. Not tonight. Let me have just one night, Johnny.
All right.
Take me to dinner. Dance with me, laugh with me. Give me just one evening, will you, Johnny?
Sure. And thank my lucky star for the chance.
You're sweet. I'm saying it now, without any strings. No matter how things work out, I'll still mean it. You're a sweet guy, Johnny. Give me time to change.
I went to my room and made 2 phone calls while I waited for her. The operator at the Club de Pesca informed me that Don Serrano was not in. The clerk at the hotel, Caleta, said the same thing about Ramon de Lagos. I didn't leave my name with either of them. Bill Blakely was staying in room 23, a few doors on down the terrace, so I decided to go have a talk with him before I went out to dinner with Marvel Terrence. But as it happened, I didn't have to go to that much trouble. Yeah, who is it?
Blakely, I'd like to talk to you.
Come on in.
Do you always cover your visitors with a gun?
Only when I spot them listening outside my door.
I don't know.
I saw your shadow against the shutter there. You've been standing outside for the last 5 minutes, Blakely. You listened to me make a couple of phone calls. Did you learn anything you wanted to know?
Dollar, suppose you were suspected of sabotaging an airliner and killing 10 people. Wouldn't you want to know what kind of a case was being built up against you?
What makes you think you're under suspicion, Blakely?
I know I am. Ed Palmer and Jim Rourke were my partners. When they died on that plane, I became sole owner of the firm. There's the motive. I've got a warehouse full of dynamite in Mexico City. There's the method.
I can go even farther than that.
What do you mean?
You mentioned one motive. Why didn't you mention the other one?
What other one?
Marvel Terrence. That crash not only eliminated a pair of business partners, it wiped out a couple of rivals.
Just one thing wrong with that, Dollar. Marvel had a reservation on that plane herself. She only decided at the last minute not to go. I wouldn't have been gaining much if I'd killed her along with my rivals, as you call them.
Uh-huh. Maybe that's why you cornered her at the airport and argued her out of going.
Yes, I did talk her out of the trip. But not because I'd planted an explosive on board.
How do you feel about her, Blakely?
I'd give my left arm. It wouldn't do any good. I'm just not the guy. I never have been and never will be. Maybe you are. She says she's having dinner with you tonight.
That's right. She is.
How do you feel about her, Dollar?
I don't know. Expense account item 11, $26.40. Taxis, dinner, drinks, and dancing for two. The Copacabana with its blue lights and the surf right at your feet and a million stars low enough to touch. The warm water of the bay lapping softly at the pilings. The Las Americas, the Casablanca, music, champagne, and the tropic night. And then finally, much later.
Good night, Johnny, and thank you. Tonight, for the first time I can remember, I wasn't alone.
And then, only an hour afterward, I was wakened out of a sound sleep.
Johnny! Señor Dollar.
Right with you, Gino. What was it?
It's a señorita, I think.
She's a number 8. Come on. But she wasn't a number 8. Her door was standing open and the room was empty. We searched the terrace out toward the edge of the cliff where I talked with her at sunset. We saw the broken section of railing and found one of her slippers and a pack of her cigarettes lying nearby. In pitch darkness, we slid and scrambled down the steep path to the beach. And there by the edge of the surf, we found her. The warm foam reached out for her, as though to carry her away to that last sunset she'd loved so much. She looked very beautiful, but very much alone. As alone and as lonely as death.
Now, here's our star to tell you about the final intriguing episode of this week's story.
Tomorrow, a desperate killer is cornered and strikes back in a deadly counterattack. Final showdown. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, is transcribed in Hollywood. Written by Les Crutchfield, it is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone. Be sure to join us tomorrow night, same time and station, for the next exciting episode of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar, Roy Rowan speaking.
That was episode 319, Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar, the Flight 6 matter. I'm going to conclude that here at the last quarter of the show. First, we're going to have a Phil Coe Murder in the Sky. But I have to fulfill an FCC obligation first.
This is a firearm safety PSA. No matter how you feel about current gun laws, everybody should know the most critical rules about handling any firearm. Rule 0. All guns are always loaded. Rule 1. Never point a gun at anything you are not willing to destroy. Rule 2. Keep your finger off the trigger until your sights are on target and you have made the decision to shoot. Rule 3. Be sure of your target and what is beyond it. A public safety message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio.
Medford.
Thank you, Digital George and Digital Henry. We're going to play this Phil Coe next. If I can cue it up. Sorry for all this. Something's not going on good today here at the station. I can't even find the PSA book. But let me cue this up. Here we go. Phil Coe.
Radio Mysteries on the air. The Philco Radio Mystery Contest with $50,000 in cash prizes, huge weekly prizes, mammoth grand prizes, a thrilling new contest of skill. Every week at this same time over this station, your Philco Radio tube dealer presents transcribed Philco Radio Mysteries. Fun, excitement, suspense, and an opportunity to win your share of $50,000 in cash prizes. Anybody can enter. Nothing to buy. If you haven't already done so, learn all about it in the big free Philco Mystery Book. Free without any obligation whatsoever at your Philco Radio Tube Dealer store. You need the book to enter this contest. It contains official entry blanks, lists all the prizes, tells you what to do to win. Be sure you have a free book. I'll wait a moment while those of you who already have your Philco Mystery Book open it to pages 10 and 11. Watch the diagram on page 10 as you listen to the program. Take notes. Listen carefully. All ready? Phil Coe, the beautiful girl detective, is going to find the murderer in Murder in the Sky. See if you can tell how she finds the guilty person. Our scene opens in the waiting room of the airport of a western city. Phil Coe and her novel-writing friend, Tom Taylor, are returning to New York from their adventure in the West. As we meet them today, they are having their tickets and sleeping accommodations examined by the airline official at the desk.
Is the plane on time tonight?
Yes, Mr. Taylor. She'll be landing any minute now.
Is the plane full this trip?
No, it isn't, Miss Cole. There'll be only 6 passengers. Ah, hear that? She's coming in right on schedule.
Want to go outside and watch her land, Phil?
Oh, I don't think so, Tom. Let's wait in here till the porter gets our bags aboard.
Okay, darling. No other woman but you could keep me from watching an airplane land.
Oh, silly. Go on out if you want to.
No. Nope. I think I'll just sit here and gaze at you.
Hey, young man, is this the sleeper for the East coming in?
Yes, sir. You're just in time.
I was delayed at the hotel. Lost my glasses somewhere.
Are you Mr. Guy Johnson?
Hope so. If I'm not, I've been lying for years. I guess the three of us are going to be sleeping companions, eh?
Well, not exactly, but we're all going on this plane, if that's what you mean.
Mr. Johnson, you'll be in lower 6.
Thank you, my boy. By the way, can you tell me whether or not Miss Rita Rogers and her brother will be on this plane?
Is that Miss Rita Rogers, the new movie star?
Yes. Yes, it's Rita Rogers, the great, big, wonderful star. Everybody knows Rita Rogers, but nobody knows her husband.
Oh, are you?
I say, Mr.
Taylor, Tom Taylor.
Take my advice, Mr. Taylor, and never marry a famous woman.
Well, that settles it, Phil. Now I'll never marry you, no matter how hard you coax.
Oh, Tom, you're breaking my heart.
Oh, dear. Now I'm in for another boring night in the air.
You like this humorous magazine, Mr. Johnson? Might cheer you up.
Thanks, old man, but I couldn't read tonight even if I tried. Unfortunately, I'm far-sighted, and I've mislaid my glasses.
Well, best thing for you to do, then, is go to sleep.
That's exactly what I propose to do.
This way, everyone. Plane's waiting.
Mind if I take your arm, old man? Without those blasted glasses of mine, I'll probably fall in the dark out here and break my neck.
Oh, hang right on. You all right, Phil?
Yes, Tom. I have regular cat's eyes.
Hey, what a swell-looking plane.
Oh, yes, it's a beauty, isn't it?
How do you do, everyone? I'm Helen Drake, your stewardess.
Oh, how do you do?
You're Miss Cole, Mr. Taylor, and Mr. Johnson. Is that correct?
That's right, yeah. Miss Drake.
Well, the other three passengers are already asleep. Now, won't you step aboard? Be careful of those steps, Miss Cole.
Oh, by the way, Miss Drake, is Rita Rogers among those other three passengers?
Yes, she's across the aisle in lower two, and her brother David Rogers is in lower three. Dr. John Baker is in lower five.
Dr. John Baker, the well-known surgeon?
Yes, a movie star and a famous doctor. Now, if you want anything, just ring the bell.
Oh, thank you, Miss Drake, but I think I'll turn in right away.
Yeah, me too.
And so will I.
You all right, Mr. Johnson?
Yes, thanks.
Fine. Good night.
Good night, Mr. Taylor.
Can I get you anything, Phil?
No, thanks, Tom. Good night.
Night. You?
No, Tom. It's the stewardess, I think.
David, are we crashing?
We're okay, Rita. It's this girl, the stewardess.
Oh, what's happening? Oh,
Miss Drake. Miss Drake, what is it? What happened?
It's Mr. Johnson.
Mr. Johnson?
Mr. Johnson.
Hey, Johnson. Johnson, wake up. Hey, something's wrong, all right.
Here, let me have a look. I'm a doctor.
Guy, it's Rita. What's the matter?
Well, doctor?
This man is dead.
What?
Oh, dead. Guy, dead.
Try to steady yourself, Miss Rogers. Now, what happened, Miss Drake?
Well, Mr. Johnson wanted some coffee, and when I brought it, I found him this way. But, I'm forgetting my duties. I should get coffee for all of you.
Swell idea.
I have Mr. Johnson's his tray up forward in the galley. But I guess you wouldn't want that after what's happened. Excuse me, I'll go up and get some fresh coffee. Please.
Well, Dr. Baker... have you found anything of interest?
Nothing special, except that this man has been dead for at least a half hour. Hand me that instrument bag under my berth, will you, please?
Here you are, Doctor.
Thank you.
Oh, awful. Oh, perfectly awful.
Come on, sis. Quiet down.
Well, look here. Well, this is very strange.
What is it, Dr. Baker?
Someone's had this instrument bag open.
What?
You see, everything's been disarranged. Good heavens.
What's wrong?
Well, this bottle. It's been half emptied. It contained a deadly poison.
He committed suicide?
No, I've already examined his lips and mouth. He couldn't have drunk it, but the poison could have been administered by... Here, let me examine his arms. This is incredible. One drop of that poison would have been sufficient to... Yes, you see, it's just as I feared.
What do you mean, Dr. Baker?
Here, it's quite obvious. This tiny mark on the arm. The poison was injected by a hypodermic needle while the man was sleeping.
You mean he was murdered?
Yes, murdered. Well, look here. One of my hypodermic needles is missing from its case.
Where is the needle? I certainly don't see it in Mr. Johnson's berth.
Well, here's your coffee, everyone. Won't you please help yourself?
One moment, Miss Drake. Dr. Baker thinks that Mr. Johnson's been murdered.
Murdered? Good heavens, Miss Cole, but how?
Poison injected by a hypodermic needle. Tell me, Dr. Baker, could this have been suicide?
No, absolutely not. This poison takes effect almost instantaneously. If this were suicide, the needle would still be in the man's hand.
Miss Drake, may we search the other berths?
Why, of course.
Then, Tom... will you look for the needle in the berths on this side?
Yes, Phil.
Miss Drake, you examine those on the opposite side.
Yes, Miss Cole. What are you trying to do, blame one of us?
Yes, what's the idea? You can't go poking into our property.
Oh, you're wrong there, Mr. Rogers. No one else on the plane is better equipped to handle a case. Miss Cole is Phyllis Cole, the criminologist.
Well, how extraordinary. Why, Miss Cole, your late father and I were very close friends.
Yes, Dr. Baker, I know.
And ladies and gentlemen, we could hardly be in more capable hands. This young lady's father, Philip Coe, was one of the world's most brilliant criminal investigators. And Phyllis Coe is following directly in his footsteps.
I found it. Look, here it is. Where
did you find it?
At the foot of your berth, Miss Rogers.
Rita, you didn't. You couldn't have.
Of course I didn't, David. What are you people trying to do to me?
Here, Miss Drake. I'll take that hypodermic needle.
But, Rita, why was it in your birth?
I tell you, I don't know a thing about it. You dare accuse me, David? My own brother?
No one is accusing you, Miss Rogers. That hypodermic needle could easily have been thrown into your birth by someone else.
David? Why? Why did you?
Say, Rita, wait a minute. You don't think I killed him?
Well, why not? You often threatened to.
Shut up, Rita.
I won't. For even tonight, when Guy came and woke me up, Miss Coe asked the stewardess. She saw the three of us talking together. Come on, ask her. Ask her.
Is this true, Miss Drake?
Yes. About a half hour after you boarded the ship and went to bed, I was up forward in the galley when I heard voices. I looked into the corridor, and Mr. Johnson was standing by Miss Rogers' berth. They seemed to be arguing.
Yes, but he started it. Please, Miss Rogers.
Well, then Mr. Rogers opened his curtains and stood up in the corridor, and he began to argue. I went to them quickly to ask them to quiet down, and I heard Mr. Rogers saying...
I didn't mean it. I only wanted to scare him.
What did you hear him saying, Miss Drake?
He said, Guy, if you bother us again, so help me, I'll kill you.
You admit that, Mr. Rogers?
Yes, I did say that, but only to frighten him away.
Miss Rogers, Guy Johnson was your husband, isn't that so?
No. No.
I happen to know that he was. Now, what was the trouble between you? Tell me the whole story. All right, I will tell you. I married Guy 5 years ago when I was trying to get a break in the theater. He had a little money, and I needed somebody, anybody, to help me get ahead. We never loved each other. Our life together was a continual wrangle. 2 years ago, I left him and went to Hollywood. It was difficult at first, but then I got my break. Since then, Guy has been constantly hounding me for money, blackmailing me.
Blackmailing you?
Yes. You mean he threatened to tell something he knew about you?
Yes. Oh, yes, he could have ruined my career.
What about you, David? How do you fit into this?
When my sister made good on the coast, she sent for me to come out and be a personal manager. My biggest job has been to fight Johnson off. You wouldn't believe the amount of Rita's money we had to pay him to keep his dirty mouth shut. And when I saw him here tonight, realized that he'd caught up with us again, I lost my temper. But I didn't kill him. I'd never do a thing like that.
No, but you'd throw that needle into my berth.
I didn't do that, Rita. I didn't.
Now wait, please. We've got to start from the very beginning. Miss Drake, you seem to be calmer now.
Yes, Miss Cole, I am.
Then tell us exactly what happened.
Well, after I had quieted the three of them, and they'd all gone back to their beds, Mr. Johnson rang for me. I went to his berth, and there I found him. And he was reading a magazine.
Go on, Miss Drake.
He asked me to bring him some coffee. I went to my galley and got the coffee, and about 3 minutes later, I brought it back to him right on his tray. He seemed to be sleeping, and when I shook him, he didn't wake up, and... Then, without taking a second to think, I lost my head and I screamed. It was that scream that woke the rest of you.
Is that all, Miss Drake?
Yes, that's all. Do you think I'd better go up to the pilot's cabin and have them radio ahead for the police?
I think not. I think my friend Mr. Taylor will do that for us.
Certainly, Phil, whenever you're ready.
But it's really my job as a stewardess.
Yes, Miss Drake. But I don't imagine you'll be stewardess much longer.
Why, I don't understand.
Why did you kill Guy Johnson?
But, Miss Coa...
Come, Miss Drake. There's no use lying any longer. Just made it quite plain that you're not very good at lying.
All right. Guy Johnson and I are starting even once again.
What made you do it?
Yes, you little beast. Why did you throw that needle into my berth? I hated you, Rita Johnson, because you were really his wife. My real name is Helen Johnson. I changed it to Helen Drake. I met Guy 2 years ago in Chicago, married him, and then we had a little boy.
What?
Guy married you?
Yes.
And after the baby came, Guy told me about you. And then he deserted us. My baby died from starvation. I had only one thing left to do in life, and that was to kill the man who killed my baby. Tonight was the first time I'd seen him since. He had poor eyesight. Without his glasses, he didn't recognize me in those dim lights. Well, that's all. And now, Miss Cole, I'm ready. I'm ready to go and join my baby!
It's a lucky thing Phil Cole, the girl detective, was in that airplane. No knowing what might have happened if she hadn't been there. Why do you suppose Phil suspected Helen Drake? You say you suspected her right from the start? Then you'll have an easy time giving three reasons which enabled Phil Cole to discover the guilty person. You heard all that happened on the plane. You know...
Okay, that was Murder in the Sky. Original air date, the 19th of February, 1936. Close to almost 20 years prior to yours truly, Johnny Dollar. There's not much known about Philco in terms of the production team, even the actress. I can't really dig up too much information on it. There's about 12 or 15 surviving episodes, but I got to truck along here, because I'm going to go ahead and play out the conclusion of the Flight 6 matter. This is Arthur, and you're listening to the Grand Hour here on 91.5 FM, WMFO, and or WMFO.org, Tufts Freeform Radio. Thanks for listening.
Johnny Dollar.
Here is your call to Mexico City, senor.
Oh, thanks. Hello?
Macklin, Department of Civil Air Transport.
Hi, Mac.
Dollar, what have you learned in Acapulco?
Not very much, I'm afraid.
But you said you were following the girl down there, Marvel Terrence.
Yeah, and a few others who might have had a hand in the explosion aboard Flight 6, beneficiaries of the insured on that flight.
What others?
Ramon de Lagos, whose wife died in the crash. Don Serrano, her brother. Bill Blakely, whose business partners were aboard.
Well, have you and Gino learned anything from them? From the girl?
Not yet.
But you said she might know who caused that explosion aboard the plane.
Right, and she promised to talk.
Well?
Your little helper, Gino, and I just pulled her body out of the surf down below the hotel here.
Johnny? Murder?
Yeah.
Tonight, and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account. America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. From Special Investigator Johnny Dollar, location Acapulco, Mexico, to the Home Office Guaranteed Transport Insurance Company, Hartford, Connecticut. Assignment, the Flight 6 matter. Expense account, final page. Item 12, $1.80 for the phone call to Mac Macklin in Mexico City. I had to get Mac out of bed to tell him what had happened. That Marvel Terrence had been murdered. That somebody had silenced the girl around whom the whole case had seemed to center, since Flight 6 had exploded in midair 3 nights before and carried the passengers and crew to their deaths. Mac was shocked and offered any additional help I might need. But he had no new information at his end, and it was obvious now that any answers would have to be found right here in Acapulco. As I hung up the phone, Gino Romero came rushing in from the hotel terrace.
Senor Dollar.
What is it, Gino?
A prowler is out on the hotel grounds. The police car has got to block off the road at the bottom of the slope.
Good, come on.
The stairs are over this way, senor.
Right with you. A little light wouldn't hurt anything down here.
It's no time. This way, into the brush, is a footpath.
All right, lead the way.
Over there is only 100 feet to the cliff. The other side is the road for the hotel. Here is the only place anybody can go. It's down this slope.
Yeah, but there are plenty of places to hide.
And see, senor, but it's a matter... Oh, wait.
Huh?
Listen.
We could hear someone moving through the jungle growth a few yards away, moving swiftly but cautiously. Then a sudden silence. Whoever it was had also stopped and was listening for Gino and me. We waited for the fugitive to move again, straining our ears, trying to tag the location. Seconds passed. Then a slight rustle ahead of us. Gino nudged me and we slipped quietly toward the sound. Get your hands up. Well, well.
Buenas noches, Senor Dollar.
You seem to be quite a night owl, Don Serrano.
Not ordinarily, Senor. The circumstances which place me in this rather awkward position are not usual ones, I assure you.
You were up there prowling around the hotel. Why?
I was looking for my unmentionable brother-in-law.
Ramon de Lagos? Why? What made you think he'd be here?
I went to his hotel. He was not in his room. I knew he had not been able to see Miss Terrence since she had spent the evening with you. So I assumed he might be waiting for her here, at her hotel. And my assumption has, of course, been proven correct.
Did you see him?
No, but I heard the police discussing the murder of Miss Terrence. It was obviously Ramon's handiwork.
Still after him, huh?
My feeling about Ramon is not a secret, senor.
Nor his about you. So why did you go to his hotel?
To kill him. Why else?
Time was running out, so we took Don Serrano back to the hotel to the police. One very important person hadn't put in an appearance. Gina went down to Bill Blakely's room, knocked on the door, then opened it with a passkey and went in. Blakely wasn't there. We searched the room.
The bed has been sleeping, senor.
Yeah, I notice. But for how long, that's the question.
It's possible he was wake up when the senorita screams before she is killed.
He might have been. He must have dressed. His pajamas are there on the floor. I wonder.
Quién sabe if it was a quarrel of lovers, the jealousy. He did not like it when the senorita was go with you tonight.
I don't think it's that simple, Gino. Let's get this bag open, have a look inside. Maybe we can... It's not even locked. He seems to have been traveling light.
They're on the top, senor.
Yeah, I see.
What is it?
Box of .38 caliber cartridges spilled open. And that piece of oilcloth. He had a gun packed in here. No, it's gone. He got up, loaded a gun and left, took the gun with him. If it was before the scream, that's one thing. But if it was afterward, then...
What are you thinking, senor?
I think we'd better take the police with us, get over to the Hotel Caleta and check up on our third suspect.
Ramon? But Don Serrano said he is not there.
Don Serrano could say anything. I think we'd better get over there, Gino, and do it fast. The clerk said room 34. That's the second door down.
Si.
Let's go. Ramon!
Who is it?
Johnny Dollar, open up. Watch yourself, Gino.
Si.
Come on in, Dollar.
You're Blakely.
Yeah. Better hand over the gun, Blakely. You won't get a chance to use it now. The police are out in the lobby.
Okay.
All right, thanks. Ramon didn't show up, huh?
I wish he had. That's all I was asking, just one clear shot at him.
Are you sure he's the one who killed her?
Sure enough.
Did you see him?
No, but he's the one. She was scared of him, Dollar. She told me earlier in the afternoon, before you got down here to Acapulco.
Told you what?
She said Ramon had followed her here from Mexico City, that he'd been acting strange. She said she was glad I was staying at the same hotel, that she didn't want to see him or talk to him.
Yeah, it figures all right. It checks with what she said to me last night. If she'd only given me a little more to go on.
She was a real great kid, Dollar. The greatest as far as I was concerned.
Yeah.
As soon as I realized what had happened, I loaded my gun and came here to wait for him. I figured he'd try to get back to his room. But he didn't show. It's too bad. She was a real great kid. And I'd have died for her if she asked me to. I loved her. She was the...
Mira, ahí está, there he is.
Come on, Gino.
Sí, señor.
Ramon had been spotted. He started to enter the hotel, saw the police, turned and ran. He was armed with a pistol. He'd fired a shot at one of the police officers and then jumped over the balustrade and disappeared into the dark curve of Caleta Beach. The police cars quickly threw a cordon along the bayfront street and blocked off both ends of the stretch of shoreline. For the moment, Ramon was trapped somewhere on that beach. He tipped his hand now, and he was desperate and dangerous, and he had a gun. Gino and I went out on the beach after him.
There's many places to hide here.
Not for long. They'll have some more police here within a few minutes. Come on.
It's maybe better we wait, señor. I do not think Ramon is planned to be taken alive.
I can still see that girl, Gino, lying at the foot of the cliff.
Sí, señor. I remember. I speak it.
What is it?
There, by the water, is... No, I am wrong, señor. It's only a boat pulled up on the sand.
Yeah, it's a paddle boat.
I think it's better maybe we separate, senor. I look in the pavilion, the cabañas. You stay close by the water. In this way, we are have him between us.
Good idea, Gino. But you've got the rough end of it. Take care of yourself.
Si, senor.
Well. Not much cover along the shoreline here.
Do not move, senor. Do not make a sound.
Well, Roman, so you were hiding behind that boat.
I have nothing to lose now, senor. If you make one move or try to call out, I will kill you.
Yeah, I think you would. All right, then, what comes next?
This boat, you will push it into the water, but be very careful. If you make any noise, even by accident, I will kill you. Quickly now, hurry.
Relax, Roman. You don't have a chance anyway.
We will see. Careful now. Be quiet. Good. Now get in, quickly.
Sure.
Take the paddle, head out across the bay, and be very quiet, or I will kill you.
All right, Roman. You're just wasting your time. They'll have a police launch out here within 10 minutes.
I do not think so. They will not know.
Quiet! Quiet! One more sound from that paddle and I will shoot.
Marvel Terrence. Why did you kill her, Roman?
She made me crazy. So beautiful. And with so very much money. I thought she would be most easy once Maria, my wife, was dead.
Then it was you who blew up the airliner in order to kill your wife and have a clear field to go after Marvel.
Marvel did not know I was married, and Maria was going to tell
her. So you sabotaged a plane and killed her, along with 10 other innocent people. And what happened tonight? Did Marvel turn you down?
She said she was suspicious of me, and she was going to tell you about it in the morning. And she said she was falling in love with you. She made me crazy.
I wish you had got back into that hotel, Roman. I wish you'd got there before I did, while Bill Blakely was still waiting for you with a loaded gun in his hand.
Be quiet and paddle faster. We must get farther up the coast in order... What is that?
Police launch. What did you think? I told you you didn't have a chance.
No, they could not get here so soon.
Well, I forgot to mention the fact that they'd already phoned for one.
And then they do not know yet we are out here. Good. Keep paddling. Quickly.
He half turned his head to look back toward the launch. I took a chance and swung the paddle. His shot went wild and he didn't get a second try. I caught him back in the air and he dropped like a log. Police located our boat a few minutes later and hauled him over the gunwale and into the launch. And that should have been the end of it. But none of us realized Ramon's insane desperation. He'd only been pretending unconsciousness. On board the launch, he snatched a gun from one of the officers and tried to take over the boat. He didn't have a chance. He took a full volley of shots from 3 police pistols square in the chest. Expense account item 13, $312.20. Hotel and incidentals in Acapulco and Mexico City and plane fare back to the States. Expense account total, $608.10. End of expense account, end of report. Remarks? I'll never see another sunset now without thinking of her somewhere out beyond it. I hope she doesn't feel alone anymore. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Remember, there'll be another intriguing story for you beginning next Monday.
I don't even think you can get an airplane ticket for that to Acapulco for that expense account that he had there. That was the conclusion of the Flight 6 matter. Very somber ending there for old Johnny Dollar. I didn't expect it. But then I don't really listen to these. I just listen here with... I listen with you, the audience, to these episodes for the most part. But that concludes the January into February weekly Flight 6 matter. Next week, I'm going to have a double feature, double westerns. We didn't have a western today because I squeezed in a Phil Cole Murder in the Sky. Like I indicated before, there's not too much information on Phyllis Coe, the private eyelash, one of them female detectives. They call them private eyelashes. I've tried, I've given up. I don't know what I'm going to play next week, but it will be a double western. Thanks for listening. This is Arthur with the Grand Hour here on 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org, Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio.